Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true-transparency-pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
104.5 The Zone with Jonathan Hutton, Chad Withrow, and Paul Kuharski. This is the Midday 1-8 served up by Wendy's on 104.5 The Zone.
Welcome back. It's the Midday 180 served up by Wendy's here on 104.5 The Zone. Just like that, we are an hour into the show. Wild first hour on the show. And it's going to be even wilder moving forward now. Plus one, this was a concept that we went into last summer where we would add a guest host to the show. Today, an extra special version of plus one. It's plus two. Our guest co-host for the next 2 hours on the Midday 180, backed by popular demand, we've got Ron Slay. Very familiar with him with the show. We're going to go on a sleigh ride. Also, Ramon Foster, offensive guard for the Pittsburgh Steelers, former Tennessee Vol, joins us in studio right now to co-host for the next 2 hours. Phone lines are open, by the way. If you've got a question for these guys, if you want to talk about literally anything, because I promise you, these guys can talk about literally anything.
And we won't at all.
That's right.
We won't at all.
You'll do it. Yeah, whatever you want to talk about, because we're going to talk about a lot of things over the next 2 hours. Phone lines are open. 615-737-1045, 737-1045. Gentlemen, welcome in. Thank you so much for doing this.
Thank you for having us.
Hey, look, can I make an announcement real quick? We're just going to jump straight into this.
Absolutely.
The sleigh ride is under some maintenance right now. So if anybody out there would like to call in and go and get me and Ramon some Slim and Huskies pizza and $5 Tuesdays, I'm just saying, you know, we would gladly accept it. I'm saying we would gladly accept it. That's all I'm saying.
Ramon, also, I want to clarify, Ron does not speak on behalf of 104.5 The Zone. he speaks for himself.
Oh, most definitely.
But I second what he's saying. And if you want to add some for me, too,
go right ahead. It's local. Everyone loves it.
Right. This is a sleigh ride. This is a coach. You know, you got different compartments in this sleigh ride. You know, we're in the entertainment part right now. But if you go on back in the lounge area, it should be some food back there. So it should come with donuts or anything.
We've got to up our green room game for sure. We need catering.
We need
the whole deal.
We got to get you some bigger sponsors. We got to do something. Personally for you. To have a show called the Midday Ride. The Midday Sleigh Ride.
How about that?
There it is. And then it says UT ride. Ties into that too. So yes.
We got a lot of UT ties on the show right now, definitely. For sure. Phone line's open, 615-737-1045. There was this leaked presentation by Howard Stern to his entire staff.
This is going
to
be interesting.
And it was an hour-long presentation on what he wanted from his staff. And you guys talking about the green room, he spent 10 or 15 minutes on the green room and what he expects in there. And thank you notes to people. I mean, it is so inspiring and motivating to watch it for someone in my business. Like, what? Yes, we need to do this. We need to do that. He is chastising people. He's making them stand up and talking about what they wear when celebrities are around. Wants them to dress nicer when A-list Hollywood celebrities come in. For the show, it was great.
But see, when you're at the
peak. But see, I'm not doing any of that, but I was motivated to do some of it.
But,
for sure.
But it sounds like that's what you need, and this is what you're pushing for right now. Before you know, you're going national. And at that point, you write down your bullet points of what you want. And I'm going to have to be in one of those bullet points, just so you
know. Yeah, absolutely. Ramon Foster is already national for sure, and he was lighting it up on Twitter yesterday. Talking about the 18-game schedule. First, Ramon, you're coming straight from a workout, right?
I am coming straight from a workout.
Okay. What does workout consist of this time of year as you're trying to get back into full training camp mode?
I'm gonna just put it out there, and Ron knows it too. My trainer is a psycho, James Wilson at Empower, and we work out the one in the Brentwood. He is a psycho. Okay.
By the way, that's the best endorsement you can give any trainer or strength coach. My trainer is a psycho.
Oh my god!
Like, I feel like you need to find the most psychotic individual to be a college football strength and conditioning coach.
This is the one,
and he is the one. Okay,
checks every box.
Yeah,
every box. And then when you think you're done, he always said, "Well, you know, there's usually overtime in sports, right?" And that's when he adds the words. So this morning we did sled pushes. And
is it just you working out with him or other people?
I have
as
another
well?
Kid. His name is Chris. He actually plays football at, Alabama, Birmingham. Or it's like Birmingham State. It's a school in Alabama, but
Birmingham
worked
Southern?
Out with him. Yeah.
Which doesn't
yes,
really matter.
Birmingham that's Southern. Birmingham yeah. Southern.
Anything in
is.
Alabama or other Southern.
Yeah, yeah that really state
it's
down
a
south.
Hell of a deal for Chris, by the way. It's a workout with an offensive guard for the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah.
I didn't have these workout opportunities. Oh, Boston Celtics are working out with me when I was with Mount Juliet.
Well, I'll just put this into perspective on how good James is. Last year was Chris's freshman year at his school, and he was the only freshman to pass the conditioning test there. So
nice.
Kudos to him.
Yeah.
But this morning was sled pushes, and not only that, we did intervals. I would push 10, jog back down, and Chris would push another 10. So I had to jog back down to the start, and then run the extra 20 up to where Chris was. And we did, like, it was basically sled suicides this morning, which was it was good.
And that's not easy for a man your size.
No, it's not. And no.
How much are you weighing these days, Ramon?
Right now, I'm like at 339, 340. So
what is your ideal playing weight?
That right there.
339, 340?
Yeah. I'll probably lose some in camp. Probably about 335 this year. So
what's the biggest you'll be in the offseason?
Because I keep it there. It's too hard
it's
to
right
go
around
back
there.
Down. Yes, it's too hard to.
You're
go
not one
back
of these
down.
Guys who can
that's
go to
bit.
380 then lose 40 pounds.
That is a
I
bit.
Almost said something crazy on the no absolutely.
But you know
not,
you've
but
seen guys
happens.
That can do that, right?
Absolutely, and not you know what
David Reed think, does this weekly.
I used to think
he gets up to 3 bills, then goes right back down. It's amazing.
Does he just shave his beard down? Could be.
I used to think weight was a lineman issue. You ought to see the little guys that deal with that. Like they'll get super skinny. You'll see guys weigh in with like weights in their pockets, and it is the same way it's hard for guys to like try to manage it going up. It's the same way it's hard for little guys to manage it to keep it on. It's insane the psychological like the area you have to be in mentally to like play this game. It's not only just your strength, your speed, it's your weight, your mentality across the board, and it's from quarterback on up to nose tackle.
Let's say you lose, because you always hear about this player's losing a lot of weight in training camp. You're in the middle of the summer.
Yeah.
You got pads on for the first time. You're going to lose weight. You lose 15, 20 pounds. How quickly do you get back to your normal playing weight, though, where it kind of self-corrects when you're not in the middle of training camp getting ready for the season?
And a lot of it is – well, some of it can be genetic. We got a guy on our team, and I won't say name because – but I think his is genetic.
No, we name names on this show.
No, I won't do this because that could be a genetic issue no matter
how
his family.
So Josh Dobbs. Let's just say it's Josh Dobbs.
We got a guy on our team. Let's say he'll start practice at 325. Okay.
So seriously. Big Ben.
See, you can't go dissing my quarterback and I'm have to talk about your quarterback.
It's your job to protect your quarterback.
I
got to
protect
Mo,
my
so
quarterback.
You get a look closer.
Well, don't get me started on Mary. Okay.
How much do you think he actually weighs?
So, Ben, I know for sure he's like 245 right now.
Really?
Yeah, for sure.
I find that hard to believe.
No, absolutely.
I'm not saying that as a diss. I mean, Cam Newton's like 270.
He might be lower than that.
He looks like he's bigger than that.
Ben might be lower than that. But the camp weight loss. So a guy started like 325. A dude would move. This one particular guy would go to like 305 in one practice. And that is like drastic. Like,
wow.
They're after practice, they're putting him on ice. They're giving him an IV. He lost weight, but he lost so much water weight one day at practice. They had to, like, he shut down. They had to, like, put a thermometer.
Unbelievable.
They had to, like, test his body heat. Like, it was that bad, man. So, but to then level back off, and then, of course, you taper down from camp, too, where you're doing a whole lot the first 2 weeks, then you taper down because of games and stuff. So, a guy probably level off about week one-ish. So,
Ron, I'm going to let you vote on this. We've got a caller who wants to give Ramon praise. Should we go to him?
I don't know how that can go, because last time we took a call on this was kind of like,
and it was kind of iffy.
Yeah, right. it was like a family member.
Let me screen him. Come on, Brad. Do the right thing, Brad.
Brad, first off, you're not a family member. This isn't about a family member, Ramon, is it?
No, I probably got the same waist size, but that's about the closest.
There you go. Welcome to the family, Brad.
Welcome, Brad.
that's my kind of family. No, guys, I wanted to tell you, I coached against this guy in the championship baseball game we had. I forgot which park it was, and he was the coolest guy out there. The kids loved talking to him. He started talking about how he was about to FaceTime old Josh Dobbs, and kids just love talking to him. And I think you probably picked up about 10 new Pittsburgh Steelers fans. And coming from a lifetime Cowboys fan myself, that kind of hurt. But man, I just want to tell you that I just, and we saw you at a couple other tournaments after that. And every time you came up, talked, and very approachable, just super cool dude, and. We really appreciated that, man. Thank you.
I love hearing that. So you coach a baseball team?
Brad, first, thank you. That was really cool. So what happened was I became like an assistant coach on my son's travel team this year. Me, I'm doing it because, heck, they know I'm a motivating guy. So I don't know anything about baseball. Well, I don't know a lot about baseball, okay? So, of course, my role on this was to keep the kids motivated. And my son plays, too, who I think is a really good kid, too. So I'm just helping out, and I'm just so happy.
Kind of like the bench dad.
That's what I am. Yes. Yeah. I am the motivating bench dad. I'm the guy.
You put an arm around them when they strike out and talk them up.
But also, I stay firm with them, too.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of stuff that I'm learning. Like, one, I'm learning to tell, well, my kid's playing 10U or 11, 12U at the time. And I don't know the signals from the coaches. He's over there. He's looking at me and is like, Ramon, give him, like, tell him get some space. I'm like, what?
See, now Ron's got some coaching experience. You got to know what the coach is talking about if you're going to sit on the bench.
You got to add him sometimes. Yeah. Get some space is this.
And it was probably illegal, but he texts me. He's like, tell the kid on first base to get some space so he can run, so he can steal. I'm like,
text gate. We got text gate.
You know, it's like he's giving me this signal. I'm like, I don't know what that signal is.
So you weren't a big baseball player growing up.
No, you know why I didn't play baseball? I've always been a bigger kid, so I didn't think I would look good in uniform. I chose my battles. I chose my battles, man.
Does your son play football, too, or just baseball?
He does flag right now. Football is one of those things where I didn't play till I was in the seventh grade, so it's no rush for a kid.
Yeah, I agree with you.
But, yeah, I do remember them talking about Josh Dobbs and stuff like that. And who, you know, I've been on this team for 11 years now, and I'm a Tennessee guy. Everybody wants to just talk about Josh Dobbs.
Yeah.
I tell them every single time, if you throw another camp in my city of Hendersonville and not tell me, we're going to have to fight. Josh. I love him, too.
And I think he's going to be in town on Friday, speaking at a church in Murfreesboro.
More than likely.
More than likely.
You just look up on Instagram.
Do you ever feel compelled to be like, I'm one of the top five offensive guards in football, according to Pro Football Focus?
You've got
the man right here.
It doesn't bother
Last
me.
Last I checked, Josh Dobbs doesn't start.
No, but you know what? It doesn't bother me, because that superstar demand life, like, I don't know if I can handle it. Like, I see certain guys that are, let's say, are higher tier than me or that's more notarized than I am, and the stuff that they have to deal with, I enjoy it, but every single day. Okay, case in point, we went to a football game this past fall. This past fall. And AB shows up to Joey Porter's son football game, okay? And we were just sitting there, just all like how we are right now. Just regular guys. Of course, there was a couple Pro Bowlers there and stuff like that. But when AB walked up into the stands, the whole crowd walked behind him. And it was a cold night, okay? It was a cold night. It was so many people around us that...
So you're wearing a big mink coat at the time?
He actually did have it on. He actually did. But he walks up, and so many people that came around him that it got warm. So I couldn't imagine, like, I guess if Mariota would come to a football game or something like that, or, you know, Henry would come to, like, it was that many people around us. And I was like, I probably couldn't handle that.
Yeah, I don't think many people would like that if it got to that level.
But the superstars that I've met or been around, they love it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's like Ron Slay when he walks into an SEC basketball arena. This is the type of crowd that comes around.
Very AB-ish.
You got to be built for it. Yeah.
He also wears mink coats even indoors. Phone lines are open if you want to jump in. 615-737-1045.
his knees, he sees the devil weeping, whining his throat. Mr. Cadillac doesn't even know he's been fighting his soul.
Welcome back to the Midday 180, served up by Wendy's here on 104.5 The Zone. David Reed, can you explain this music that's playing us back right now? What is this?
I was not aware this had vocals on it.
Well, Reed is so good at producing that normally it has meaning when he plays a song coming back, and I was like, this is either a mistake or there's some meaning behind this.
Well, no,
I
mean, it's by Volbeat, so whenever we have Vols in studio, I like to play something by Volbeat.
But that's what I'm talking about. It's next level with
Reed. Or less good than me wouldn't let me know that there's vocals on there.
So Ryan Mudd put that in the system.
Probably
is what I'm hearing
so. Yes.
As a producer. 615-737-1045 if you want to jump in. We got Ron Slay, Ramon Foster in studio. We're going to talk some NBA free agency. I want to talk a lot of football, though, with both of you guys also,
sure.
Because we also know Ron can talk about absolutely anything. Anyone who's ever
and
met
some
him
camps
knows that.
Up tomorrow.
He can talk.
Yes, at times.
The 18-game season for the NFL. And this is something that a lot of people are talking about with this new collective bargaining agreement. Ramon, I thought you communicated it well yesterday on Twitter, responding to some NFL writers about it. Give us your thoughts on how that might diminish the product a bit if you move to 18 games.
Okay, my thought of it is this, and I'm also a player rep too, so I have a little bit more insight on it. Or this is, we're going through our CBA talks real soon too. So
let's start with that actually, okay. Because you're a player rep. There's 10 guys, right? That I know, Richard Sherman.
That's the EC board. It's
okay.
12 of those guys that are the EC board.
So 12 of the guys actually go to New York to negotiate.
Yes, they actually
but
do.
But you're the player rep
I'm
for
a player
Pittsburgh.
Rep. You have one main rep and two alternate reps per team. And on our team, it's myself as the main rep, and I got Cam Hayward and Vince Williams as our alternate reps.
Okay.
And so let's say if we're voting on the CBA, one, I'm passing all the information to my guys as possible. Like, this is what our proposal is. This
to
is
the
what
entire team.
I have to.
Yeah.
And what I want from our guys who are reps in this league is this. Moving forward, we have to be informed. This CBA right here is going to affect a lot of guys before us and after us. The money split, the games, the disciplinary stuff, the drug testing, commissioner talks, just a lot. And the thing is, we as reps and them as our EC board, Richard Sherman, and those guys, we can't not have guys informed on this. We got to make sure that if we're voting on something, this is a huge deal, this CBA deal. All our guys have to know what we're voting for. What I don't want is like, well, we didn't ask for this, or we didn't want this, or we needed this. So everything that I get from our union, I'm passing on to our guys. And it's some heavy stuff. So I'm looking forward to see how it all shake down when we finally send our proposal in and see what the owners have to say or what they push back on. And that's what this is. This is hopefully soon the start of negotiating for a new CBA that works better for both sides.
So when you tweet something out being a player rep, I automatically assume that, well, this is what the players want and not just what Ramon Foster wants. Do you talk to your two alternate reps about something like that before you tweet it? Or when you tweet, it's just, hey, this is my thoughts. I'm not necessarily speaking for everyone.
Yes, absolutely. And especially with that talk yesterday about the 18 games. We've heard about it for years now. And also, if you saw Cam Hayward also said, no, this is not something we're going to do. And if, let's say, that proposal comes to our table, I'll ask the guys, how do you feel about this? And I'm sure it's going to be weighed heavy as far as if they do try to push for 18 games, it's going to be, well, we're going to give you more cash. Well, and you saw the thing of 18 games, but we're capping players at 16. And if you're smart, you look at this and say, well, this is just a money push.
I'm gonna read your tweet exactly, because I thought you summed it up well. With this proposal, it's almost saying, we know certain games just aren't important. We just want to pocket more money. Almost makes it seem like it's okay to play down, or we won't put our best players out each game. Profit over quality, ? And I think you sum that up well, because
yes.
What are you telling your fans if you show up to a Patriots game and Tom Brady and Julian Edelman are sitting that game against an opponent that maybe they either think they can win or they're just okay losing that game?
Yes, but that's not what you're paying your season tickets for. That's not why you're buying your tickets on StubHub, Ticketmaster. You're not buying tickets at the game for that. I want to see Tom play. I want to see Ben play. I want to see Connor. I want to see all those guys play because I paid my money still. And a lot of stuff that got back on Twitter was they don't consider the fans. And that right there is will be part of the problem if they do that, because to buy a ticket to a game, let's say the regular ticket is 120. Okay, that's not just probably – nobody's probably buying one ticket. You're probably buying a set. That's 240 right there. Then we got to travel to the game. And if we're out of town, we got to get a hotel. By the time we get to the end of the weekend, from beer costs to tailgating costs to gas to hotel, you're $1,000 a weekend probably just by yourself. So if, and I might be pushing the envelope, but there's a lot that goes into it, and you got to consider the fans. So if you tell me that we're not going to put our best product out there, then that's a problem. If you tell me that we're not going to play Juju a game and he needs to be out there probably, then you're probably going to have guys that I'm going to dumb it down a little bit. Or if they're going to sit him, this is an important game. And my biggest issue was this. Okay, you mean to tell me you're going to sit maybe one game, your left tackle and your right guard a game? And what happens if you're playing against Aaron Donald and that Rams defense that game too? And I know you said, well, I'm probably not going to sit him that game.
You're talking about putting your biggest investment at risk.
Yes, your quarterback at that point. So at some point in time, you're going to have to stagger out who's going to be in and out of the game. It just doesn't make sense. One, for the fans' pockets, but secondly, for the players. When you're going to tell me that, okay, well, we're going to send the season by, let's have it 22 weeks, so that we get two bye weeks and two sitting games. And on top of that.
And then how deep into February do you want to go?
Yes.
It's pretty cold.
It's a whole lot deeper than that. And maybe this is just clickbait to just get us going to see how we would react to it and stuff like that. But majority of the guys just don't. And you say, we'll take away two preseason games. I'm a huge proponent of not taking away the preseason game. To me, that a lot is learned about a player over that 2 weeks of practice before games and then those four games also. You get a chance to see guys that they get a chance to shine in those four preseason games, whether it's making a big play on special teams or making a big catch. But the whole gist of camp is to get plays in so you can see what guys are going to do collectively.
Ron, you're a big football guy. You watch the game. As a fan, what would you want to see? Is it 18 games? Is it more playoff games? What would you want to see?
I would like
or just to see, the way it is now.
I like it now as it is, but definitely you can't take that the preseason away from it. I to piggyback on Ramon, I think that takes away an opportunity for one guy's life to be changed. Like, yep. How many guys might stink it up, be nervous the first two games, and then the third and fourth game, you get more playing time, you get out there, and that one play, you know, that one play can change.
That one kickoff return.
Yeah, all that kickoff return, like, exactly. Yep. You know, and not even being able to make plays, but just knowing that the position that you're supposed to be in, the placement that you are, you're in the zone or anything, it might be like the area you're covering, that speaks volumes, because it takes 11 guys to do the job. So one person move out, and that whole thing can crumble. You know, you got to see that with a guy like Shazier, speaking with Pittsburgh. Yeah. But you got to have guys be able to get their feet wet and get in there and muck it up a little bit. But as far as the playoff games, I think two teams added to that. I'm fine with that. All four
who's
teams.
Who's going to object, like, to more playoff games? Hey, I don't.
That's beautiful. It's just bigger buys, yes. Like more buys instead of the top two.
I'll just tell you, the energy from, let's say, mid-December mm-hmm. to leading up to the playoffs is by far some of the highest you'll see. That time right there where the coach tell you, okay, it's December football. We got to start like pushing the arrow up. From that point to the last game, and when the times that we've been playing and we know we're in, towards it's usually been the Browns, and we look at each other like, okay, it's for real now. Mm-hmm. Like that, you almost get chills just thinking about it, because to get in the playoffs means you're playing some of the best teams. And not only that, you got your shot, right. And that's all you want is your shot.
Let me say, as a fan, you can go to games in the early season.
September, October.
And once you get to November, December, you feel it as a fan. Like, I've actually been there and been like, you know what? I'm leaving the box, and I'm going down here to stand by the concession stand, because you can actually feel the vibrations, man. And it's totally different. So adding on in that part of the season is great.
I still got to get to a game with you, by the way. I'm inviting myself again.
You're supposed to come to England.
I've got to go to a game in Pittsburgh at some point. Yep.
But what comes out of only adding playoff teams is this. If we add two more games during the season, that means every team profits, and that's what mm-hmm. they're looking forward to.
Yeah.
So, but if you only add playoff teams, let's say you only add – for teams. Not everybody's going to profit out of that. But that also should push the envelope as far as saying, hey, we're going to put a better product out there earlier so that way we can get in the playoffs. But in my own personal opinion, I don't think teams do. I think the NFL is such a money-making machine right now that you can just throw anything out there. And I think teams are making money until they open the books and say, hey, we lost $2 million this year.
And adding regular season games, what are we going to do in the NFL? Start doing load management like the NBA? Like,
yeah.
I don't want to go see that. You know, I'm most definitely going to see preseason games because I know those guys that I maybe have a cousin or something that was undrafted and he got an opportunity.
Yeah.
Guys that I went to school with, I'm going to see those guys and that might be the only opportunity. So I'm going to preseason also.
And it's what makes football so important and so much fun is it's only 1 of 16.
Right.
Yeah. Or it's only 1 of 12 that you're guaranteed. Mm-hmm. And that's why it's so important. Welcome back to the Midday 180 served up by Wendy's. Speaking of Wendy's, we're trying to organize some lunch in here during the breaks. It's an all-out assault on food every time we talk during the breaks.
All-out assault.
We're gonna make something happen here one way or the other for these guys. We've got Ramon Foster, Ron Slay in studio with us. They're here until 1 p.m. Phone lines are open. 615-737-1045, 737-1045. Want to talk some Tennessee football and basketball with Ron and Ramon coming up, and we'll get into a number of different issues. But, Ramon, we were talking about the 18-game schedule. I do want to hit on this.
Yeah.
Because you said when you were talking about it, this next collective bargaining agreement is not just important for current players, it's important for future players, for everyone involved.
Yes.
What do you mean when you say that? Because there's a lot of underlying issues with what's going on.
And the main issue, of course, that we dealt with firsthand is the franchise tag, how we're going to deal with that issue, which in my honest opinion, I don't think is huge. It's something that we got to definitely untie the guys from on how we deal with that issue. The tags, all the tags, honestly, the franchise, the restricted, the exclusive rights tender. Secondly is what we were talking about according to the 18 games, too. It lines up with the 18 games. What we're trying to do is, one, raise up minimums across the league. I don't know what our final say is going to be on that. But if you raise up the minimums and also add games, you're also taking away from guys possibly playing time or their lifeline of how long they're going to be able to play if you're adding in 18 games. Medical is going to be huge for us. Commissioner discipline is one of those things I know that's going to be a talking point. That fifth-year option thing, you know, that we got to deal with guys. Just across the board, and not only just the guys that are playing, but future guys moving forward. Also, you always have to look back on the retired guys because one thing about a current NFL player is this. You will be a retired guy. So you got to make sure at some point we're doing stuff for – your medical, we're doing stuff for your 401k. There's a lot of benefits that have to be hashed out in this next CBA.
There's in hearing CBA also makes me think of NBA. And I want to talk to you guys about NBA free agency and the difference in perspective of players in the NBA and the NFL.
As far as pay, you're saying?
Well, and just in general, you know, Ramon, you took a slight pay cut late in your career to come back, even though you're still playing pretty much at an all-pro level. And every metric, every pro football focus, they have used one of the best offensive guards in
the
league.
We're going to get that Pro Bowl one year. Eventually, my respect
Advocate.
Is coming out.
Well, and here's – look, I'm not trying to compare you to Chris Paul.
Yeah.
But Chris Paul is going to be 38 making way too much money. But in the NFL, you get into that age range and you're taking pay cuts. Even if you continue to play at a high level. It's obviously two completely different sports, but there's a totally different mindset, I feel like, also, with NBA free agency and NFL free agency.
You know what?
And Ron can speak to this also.
Let me speak on it real quick.
Go ahead.
One thing that I noticed this year about the NBA free agency, and I kind of appreciated it, was this. Okay, we had the huge deals that came out. Mm-hmm. Everybody, we know all the KDs, the Kyries, the everybody that got paid this offseason. What I appreciated more about it this year was you saw a bunch of, like, I guess, younger guys, maybe they got the 3-for-24s, the 2-for-12s, the 3-for-15. There was a lot of those that was reported this year. And I don't know for what reason why they decided
Josh Richardson
to do that.
From Tennessee in Philly was one of them. Tobias Harris got a huge deal.
Tobias got a huge one, but it was a lot of guys. You're like, okay, well, it does compare because what people don't realize, they have a smaller roster.
Mm-hmm.
And also the face card of guys in the NBA is a whole lot higher, I think, than the guys in the NFL. Right. And with that, they get a lot of power. They can demand a lot of things out of it. So let's say Tobias got 170.
Yeah.
Look at the rest of the roster. Yeah. There's probably about 8 1.1s, 700 grands, or something, which is a lot of money. I hate talking money about when we're speaking to pro athletes because technically it's still a lot of money. But on that roster, you do have to find some balance in that. And with what's happening with Chris Paul, that contract that he took on, like you said, it was, how was he, 30, 38?
Now, is he about 36, 34?
36.
34.
So when he's 34, so when he took that deal on.
Looks 38.
What Houston didn't realize this was, okay, at some point we got to do something with our team. They want to win. So what happens to Chris Paul? He gets shipped out to a team he doesn't want to. He's going to get shipped out again probably to a team that's at least a little bit more sexy for him.
Right. And I think with that, like you said, it's a lot of it is being spread around. And I think what is going to end up hurting the NBA is if these big-time players that are up for the max contracts don't accept those max contracts by leaving that $50 million on the table, like such as Kawhi did, or did not accepting that Supermax.
Kemba did it, didn't he?
Yeah. So when you don't accept that Supermax, you kind of, in a sense, hurt the smaller guys because it's set high for you.
Yes.
So these guys can get those 24 and 30 millions and things of that nature. But also, being affiliated with the G League now, you know, those two-way contracts play big for us. So it's a trickle-down effect.
Yeah.
So those guys get a little bit more money. You know, I was when it was the D League, and I saw over 1,000 one time getting paid every 2 weeks, you know, and was one of the second leading scorer and still couldn't work my way up. But I think the way they have it set now, you get to sign the two-way contract. So the 10 days are not even big deals. You trying to look to sign a two-way contract where the two-way contract would allow you time to play in the NBA and time to play in the G League to get your feet wet. So it's interesting, man, and the money is just going to keep on raising as long as they keep on accepting. Without it being a powerful three-headed monster team in the league this year, we're going to see what all this parity does. I don't think that it'll be as great for the NBA. I don't think it'll be as profitable as it has been.
So you think
without being a super team,
a big three is better?
You think a super team helps?
Yeah, I mean, like a couple
of
my partners
were
talking.
But now you've got like
4 or 5
super teams.
But see, I'm on the other side of that thing.
I understand where you're coming from.
Yeah, okay, all right.
I can dig it. You know what I mean? You want to see the parity. You want to see guys get out there and compete. But go back and look. When has it not been a super team in the NBA?
Well, let's talk about this when we come back, because Kawhi Leonard is unlike any other NBA superstar in how he orchestrated what was going to happen with the next 3 years of his career. So we'll talk about that and how that kind of changes the NBA moving forward. Coming up in the noon hour also, we'll talk some Tennessee Vols sports, football and basketball moving forward with Ron Slay and Ramon Foster. That's all coming up next. It is the Midday 180 served up by Wendy's.
104.5 The Zone, your home for NASCAR. Sunday, it's the Monster Energy Series. Pre-race coverage starts Sunday afternoon at 1 on 104.5 The Zone.
Welcome back. It's the Midday 180 served up by Wendy's here on 104.5 The Zone. We are remedying the food situation immediately for all of us in here.
Making it happen.
We got Ramon Foster, Ron Slay, fresh off a workout. Ramon worked out with his psychopath of a trainer.
Shout out to James.
Found out about. Yeah.
Shout out to James Wilson.
David Reed is our producer. Phil D'Antonio is our production assistant today. Ron and Ramon, by the way, in studio with us till 1 o'clock. 615-737-1045 if you want to jump in. So we were talking about NBA free agency. Kawhi Leonard is both boring and fascinating to me.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Because he is – I found it hilarious when people were speculating where he was going to go and saying, right. Oh, he's an L.A. guy and this and that. I'm thinking, I don't know what kind of guy he is at all. Mm-hmm. We know so little about him. There was speculation about whether or not he's married, whether or not he had a kid this year. People don't even know. They're checking hospital records to see if he has a child. But think of how different that is in today's NBA.
He's like a unicorn.
Where you know everything about everyone. Yeah. And we had no idea what Kawhi Leonard was doing, what he was thinking. And then the surprise move to go to the Clippers and the trade for Paul George. Can you guys sit back and appreciate a Kawhi Leonard in today's NBA?
Yeah, without a doubt. The way he moved, it's
so well, we don't know if he even moved.
Yeah, he might not have. Besides the picture, we saw him getting off the jet. Like he could have been coming from a celebration, but he was in stealth mode the entire time. And I think without knowing his inner circle, mainly his uncle, from what I get, that you really don't know what he's thinking or what he's going to do. And the way he went about it, man, it kept everybody in limbo. And if UT football can have an outcome like the way Kawhi Leonard's outcome was, we'll take stealth mode all day long.
You know? But then on top of that, he wears a shirt at the championship parade that says "Bored Man Gets Paid." Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking to myself, well, he's got some type of sense of humor.
Yeah. Oh,
you
yeah.
know, and it's like you said, in this day of age of everything is out there for you. Like it's social media just across the board. You know what people are doing. There's no mystique on how NFL or NBA players train anymore. Right. You can't say, well, I don't know what he's doing to be this great. No, he's showing you exactly what he's doing.
Exactly.
And you get hints of stuff in people's video. Kawhi hadn't tweeted anything since 2016. I'm pretty sure somebody made him say something on there. And for his stuff to not get out, the way I guess the guru Woj is like reporting these. Right. I say his name Woj, like it's foreign. Yeah. Woj.
Well, and it's also, I mean, with him, we don't even hear how he is as a teammate.
Right.
It's not like there's a lot of stories from guys who've been in the locker room with him. I keep thinking back to that one video of Kyle Lowry trying to give him a fist bump as they're on the court, and he's just pointing to the court. He wouldn't give him a fist bump.
We're going out here. What you trying to do?
We still don't know if he was joking about it.
Just as calm as can be, he's just pointing right to the court. I mean, you don't hear awful things about him. He had the deal in San Antonio where he basically held out, but it's such an odd situation. But he's clearly a great player.
But clearly that was a test in itself.
Right.
They said the dinner when he had with Pop and whoever else was there, the dinner, the medical stuff, all of that was a test to see who's going to say something about me and that I'm going to decide from there.
And
he did. And it's the same thing. It's the first time during this whole free agency process, the Lakers didn't say anything. Yeah. Clippers didn't
say
anything. Oklahoma State. Oklahoma didn't say anything, and they were getting ready to trade him at the same time. Like, does this guy have like the mafia behind him? That's the point where we're at right now.
The Lakers are the opposite,
right?
Yeah. Like, you know, if the quiet man wins,
right.
And Steve Ballmer and what went on with the Clippers, and they handled it perfectly, where nothing got leaked. Uh-huh. The Lakers are the opposite, because everyone there runs their mouth, and I have to think part of that is Rich Paul and his connection because he's the first one that contacts someone when he wants something done.
But
Anthony Davis, does it with LeBron James, and I think that whole deal turned off Kawhi Leonard.
I think so in a sense, but also you got to throw Magic out there too. Magic saying that Kawhi wants to speak with me. You just threw the whole franchise under the bus, Magic.
And Magic could have sat back, owned 1,000 Starbucks and movie theaters, been this dignitary for the Los Angeles Dodgers as a part owner, and been perfectly happy and successful. But the fact he went back and had that job with the Lakers, it has really hurt his reputation.
And I think that's what he lives by that rep. So I think he's going to do anything to see them, whatever he can do to get the Lakers back on top, he's going to do, because he can't go out that way. Magic is too competitive to let that be a tarnish on his resume. You just can't do that.
Who's winning it all next year? Sure. I'm starting with Ron because I know he's got an idea of who
no,
he is.
No, end with Ron. Let me just tell you where I am at because he's the expert on this. I wouldn't be surprised if Milwaukee actually won it.
Right. That is my pick.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Now, but the guys on the show laughed at me when I said that, but I look at the team who basically, now they lost Malcolm Brogdon.
Right.
That was, which is going to hurt. Big. But the team that sits there that was that close a year ago, you put Philly in the mix also, but that was that close to beating Toronto a year ago. They were up 2-0 and should have won game three and then lost that series. They could have been the NBA champs this year. Not a lot of big changes. I like Milwaukee coming out of the East.
I think we're in an era now of where when Mike left the game and when Houston started winning, we look back in the yearbook, I mean, in the history books and be like, man, Houston won like two or three. I think this is what's happening right now. Until they settle in on what they're going to do, I think you have a team like Milwaukee that went to Toronto that won it, or you have some, I don't know, maybe Utah that's competing. I just don't know if Houston can do it considering what they got.
I don't believe so.
LeBron and AD still, I don't know, but I'm not the expert. This is my amateur opinion on this, so this is why I lead it to Ron. I say you have a surprise team like Milwaukee.
Ron's pretty good about picking basketball games. I know this from experience.
I can see Milwaukee, why people would pick Milwaukee, but the only thing with me, and I'm not sold on, I can see them getting to the finals, but I can't see them winning it because anytime your main two guys that you have that's going to be handling the ball and doing the bulk of the scoring can't shoot outside of 20 feet. In this day and age, you can't get over the hump to me. So with Antetokounmpo and Eric Bledsoe both being – now, Brogdon was different. So Bledsoe got to play off him, and it was a good thunder and lightning in a sense. But now with just Eric Bledsoe, I know we got Chris Middleton, who's an all-star, and he's a shooter, but – he's not going to be handling the ball like that. Eric Bledsoe and Antetokounmpo are, and I think that's what came back and bit them. You know, it was very big for them to go against the Celtics and be able to shoot the lights out, but when they went against the 76ers, it was a totally different thing. So moving ahead, I believe that it is wide open and the parity is there, but I'm a LeBron fan, man, and I think they have been able to form a roster that's going to be – a plus for them going ahead. I think bringing in Boogie and you see the weight loss that he's had in the last 2-3 weeks is going to be big. And I think he also has a chip on his shoulder that he's getting that contract.
He was good when he got to play in the playoffs for Golden State.
Exactly.
And limited
still
time.
Out of shape.
You still need time from that type of injury.
You got to get that. So I think they put a good nucleus around them. I think Kawhi and them, they'll challenge some guys. Houston, there had to be for ticket sales or as far as OKC getting Chris Paul.
Or maybe the chemistry between between Harden and Chris Paul.
Let's talk about that dynamic when we come back. Because you have two ball-dominant players.
And
I don't see either one conceding to the other. I don't know how that's going to work. Also, Mike Vrabel on the Bustin' with the Boys podcast. By the way, we have an announcement about that podcast coming up in the next segment also. Said that he'd cut his member off for a championship. Does that surprise the two guys in this room that an NFL coach would say that? We'll discuss that and more when we come back. 1 hour down, 1 hour to go with Ron and Ramon co-hosting the Midday 180 with us in studio. You're listening to 104.5 The Zone.
From 104.5 The Zone, this is the Midday 180 served up by Wendy's. With Jonathan Hutton, Chad Withrow, and Paul Kuharski.
Just like that, we are into the noon hour of the Midday 180, served up by Wendy's here on 104.5 The Zone. Chad Withrow, I'm with you all week. Paul Kuharski, Jonathan Hutton, they'll be back next week. They're on vacation. David Reed, producing for us as always, doing a terrific job. Phil D'Antonio is our, I always want to say it's D'Antonio, D'Antonio. I say it different every time. Yeah. Phil D'Antonio is our production assistant. He is off on a special assignment to secure food for everyone here right now. Yes, this is a big time assignment.
This could make or break him, honestly.
You know, his entire internship is really it's
hanging in the balance.
We're sitting right there on the edge of whether or not he's going to be labeled a good intern or a bad intern.
Danny Close.
He also needs to be back by 12:20.
Woo!
He took off quickly. First off, he's got my credit card, so he definitely needs to be back. Yeah, he said. Oh, I just got a text from Phil. We were going to have delivery. He said the guy said it would take 40 minutes, so I got in my car to go pick it up.
Okay.
He said, in traffic now, so it might take me a bit.
Phil, you need to learn to use ways, get back roads, get on a bicycle, do something.
Phil, I hope you're listening right now because it's not that far away.
Ride a scooter.
We need you to get there quickly. That's right.
Swipe their credit card on the scooter.
Whatever it takes to have us eating the final 30 minutes of this this hour. We've got Ron Slay and Ramon Foster in studio with us. And right now, the Zone Summer Box Office is open. Caller number 5 has a chance to win tickets to WWE SummerSlam Heatwave Tour at Bridgestone Arena, July 27th, 615-737-ZONE. Call the contest line, remember. And Reed has actually knocked out the other line, so you have to call the contest line. 737-0663, caller number 5, wins a pair of tickets to WWE SummerSlam Heatwave Tour at Bridgestone Arena. Reed, what is the SummerSlam Heatwave Tour?
It's just what they call their summer tour before that pay-per-view. So it's house show, non-televised show.
Okay, it's a house show.
Yep.
That's what I was going to ask. It's not a Monday Night Raw.
No, sir.
Is it a strong lineup? Anybody in there? Mona, are you going? Are you going July 27th?
I leave the 23rd for camp.
Are you a wrestling guy, Ramon?
Wrestling.
Yeah.
I was, man. I've gotten out of it. When I went to college, everything consumes you in college, so I kind of got out of it.
I was a big wrestling guy in high school,
too. Oh, my goodness.
And fell out of it.
I was buying posters and everything.
So, Mike Vrabel.
I was the Undertaker.
On the.
anyway.
You bring death with you everywhere you go.
You better know it.
That was your entire thing playing basketball also.
Yes.
And I've seen it also.
Yes.
I've seen Ron Slay in a men's league game, like, belly bop a guy a good 5 yards across the court.
He goes to a dark
spot.
Didn't
even put hands on him. He got close to him, but he just. Yeah. He chested him out of the way.
About 280.
Not up in here.
280 that
day. That could be Ron's signature move if he was a wrestler. You just go and give him the chest.
The opposite of
chest.
Yokozuna.
Yeah, there you go.
Ron Slay flying chest. So Mike Vrabel was going to send something flying. He said on the Bussin' with the Boys podcast, and it was in a joking fashion, that he would give up a certain man part for the Titans to win a title.
Man part.
It's a really funny line, and I think most people took it for the joke that it is, and his wife is even in on the joke also. But I was a little bit surprised to hear any NFL head coach. That's one of 32 guys.
Yeah.
You don't often hear any type of material from these guys.
No.
Mike Vrabel offered it up, though.
Not candid stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is a podcast, by the way, Taylor Lewan, Will Compton from that podcast. They'll be the special guest host tomorrow on the show.
Hey.
And I'll be later on, we'll announce exactly what time, but that's going
to
be a
lot
of fun.
You tell them Ron and Ramon like to have a host off.
Yeah.
And we'll see.
It's
enough. We'll see if they demand food also when they get here. Hey, I heard Ramon and Ron in yesterday.
Yeah, there we go.
You got pizzas for them. So.
Food and drinks and
what's
an
in
Uber.
This for us?
And
that's right. Did it surprise you, though, to hear that?
About Vrabel?
Yeah.
No, not at all. Well, I'll put it this way. Coming from a head coaching perspective, absolutely not. Because you win one, you're good for life. And I think that's for players too, but especially for coaches. You'll forever get a job if you get one. If not, then you'll also get a TV gig from that too. I knew the importance of it. I just didn't know how important it was or is to win a championship. You get a lot of perks and a lot comes with you if you win. Well, I don't care if you was the special team king or whatever. You get one under your belt, you're good for life in a lot of different avenues. You get that attached to you. Your signature on footballs is a lot different. You're not just putting your name and number. You're putting SB, whatever, behind it. And it holds. You walk in a room and somebody says, here is Joe PGA, member of the 2000 whatever Super Bowl team. And everybody's like, where's the ring?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You instantly
you go speak to any elementary school, you're bringing the ring with you.
Oh, my God. And that in itself, I'm sure it can bring you $2,500 to $5,000 in a speaking engagement.
Right.
Just being a part of that team. So for a head coach to get in into that realm of winning just one, I'm sure he'd probably chop it off, fillet it, and put it on display too. Absolutely.
Let me ask you, why do you think that players, I know coaches look at it a little different, that championship would, you know, put them in the next realm of coaches and Super Bowl champions. But why is players take so long for it to resonate with players to, like, this championship is, in a sense, what it's about?
Because our mentality of football players is almost just this, I feel like, to a point. And I could be wrong. I'm sure it'd be somebody. If somebody hear this, they'll, you know, contradict what I'm saying. But I think as a young guy, you're into survival mode. Mm-hmm. Whether you're first round or whatever, I got to survive to prove that I can do this. Because in football, it's a sense of not – it's only – I say this, but you'll say differently. It's probably the only sport where you have to actually prove what you're saying or what you are.
Right.
If somebody said, man, this guy's a beast. Guess what? I need to see that beast. I need to see him. If I catch you slipping, it's over for you. Mm-hmm. And if I catch you slipping, most times you're probably going to lose your job.
Right.
And as a young guy, you're in just survival mode of just trying to make it. Even for franchise quarterbacks that are drafted early, their mentality on probably going to the Super Bowl probably don't stick to them that early, mm-hmm. unless they have like a Carson Wentz situation where somebody's got a defense around them and you know. So you deal with that aspect of a survival, and then you get settled in.
Mm-hmm.
Once I learn the game and I know the game, I feel the game. Now it's like, well, I don't want to just play it.
Right.
Now you get me into post year four, which is second contract. Okay, I got the money. I got the playing time under me. I got to get this ring.
Right.
I think it's so much that goes into it physically to where you're like, let me get myself together in this game. Let me get established. Let me be who I'm going to be first. Now we can start talking about this ring. And I think that's why it's kind of a little delayed for a lot of guys, where you see guys like, man, I need this ring, or I'm chasing it. Unless you're just a money guy. Me, I'm like, I didn't understand going to the Super Bowl in year two.
That's what I was about to ask you.
Of how hard it was.
Mm-hmm.
I thought when we made it in year two, think about going to the Super Bowl in year one or two.
And this is the Super Bowl against the Packers.
Yeah, against the Packers.
Yep.
I'm thinking, we made it now?
Yeah.
Oh, we're going every year, every other year. We hadn't been back since.
Yeah. That was the Super Bowl in Dallas, right, where the awful weather was there? They had an ice storm,
And I just knew
it was
one
of the few
back.
Super Bowls I haven't been there the week of to do the show, actually.
Yeah.
In the last 14 years, yeah.
But it was, if I can go back now and say, all right, well, this is what it takes. I probably would have told more of my teammates. I just thought it was understood on what it takes. Now I know it's hard. What Tom Brady has done to get six by himself, or, you know, the Steelers to win as many as we've, if Dave's won, but I can't say we because we didn't get in it. I hadn't won one yet, but that's a hard task. That's why you kind of see teams crumble after that too.
Right.
Teams that go to the Super Bowl and you don't hear from them for another 5 years, because you got to really kind of reset almost the mindset, also the players behind them, because a lot of players get picked off of those Super Bowl contending teams. It's hard.
It's hard enough to stay relevant in the league
and
in the playoff mix the way you guys have for a long period of time. It's really hard to win it.
It's really hard to win. It's just think about, like we were talking about off air, some teams are okay with being 8-8.
Right.
Think about that.
Right.
Our goal every year is.
And that's the Titans. You know, their whole mantra this offseason is good to great. Mm-hmm. They're tired of being just good. Mm-hmm. They need to be great at some point.
And from
it's
that,
hard to get there, though.
Let's say they get to that point. The next stage, you hear the rumblings of, we got to be a Super Bowl contender. And that's been our mindset for the longest time. And like I said, it take a while for guys to get, unless you got a guy like Tom or Ben or Aaron or, you know, Drew Brees, that, like, they know what it takes to get it done.
Isn't it easier, by the way, to go from 2-14 to 8-8 than it is 8-8 to 12-4?
Oh, my goodness.
If you're talking about just steps, like, you can get to that mediocre level a lot quicker when you're terrible.
Winning 10 games in this league, when we get to 10 games, say we win 10, it's like, we're a double-digit winning team. That is huge, because one that says we're playoffs, we're one of the elitist teams in the league, but to go 12-4, 13-3, you kicked a lot of butt, you know, and that's hard. That's hard.
In hindsight, do you think you took it, or players from that team took it for granted getting there and not knowing that? Because I believe that your last 4 years, you all were so talented.
Yes.
You know, minus Shazier getting hurt. But if those teams can't get there, that team that you had when you first went in your second year, like, Do you take that for granted? You think those guys look back on it like, man, we should have handled the moment a little bit differently?
I think it's one of those things where you got to realize, well, you got to actually try. There is an extra step to be taken. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people got to realize those type of things. And I also say this too, you realize what happened in those situations is collectively team. Guys making their plays, offense making their plays, defense making their plays, special teams doing their thing. And in that, you kind of fall back on the reality of this isn't an offensive take me to the Super Bowl type of thing. This is a team take me to the Super Bowl type of thing. So if we got to dial it back on this right here to achieve that, then you got to come to that realization about it. I think one of the biggest things that Tom Brady's doing for the Patriots is probably – taking a pay cut, in a sense. Now, his wife is also a supermodel, is making $100 million.
Yeah, makes more than him.
You know, so. Yeah. But sacrifices have to be made in a team to achieve that type of stuff. Mm. And just like Toronto trading away. Who?
DeMar DeRozan.
DeMar DeRozan. Yeah, I'm sure that guy. You looked at that and was like, what the heck are y'all doing? Mm-hmm. But look what happened in the end. It's a team.
Let's do this. When we come back, we're talking about good to great in the NFL. And how difficult that is. Getting back to relevance for Tennessee Vols football. Let's discuss that and how difficult it is. Ramon played on some teams that had a lot of success. Tennessee's trying to get back to that level, not even championship level. Just get back to an 7-5, competing. 8-4, consistent, playing close games against great teams at home, level.
That's tough.
We'll discuss that. And also I want to get with Ron on what's next for Tennessee basketball. They've had all this success. They've now got NBA success to sell on the recruiting trail. How can this benefit Rick Barnes and Tennessee basketball moving forward? We'll discuss those topics and more when we come back.
Football fans, your wait is almost over. The Titans open the preseason August 8th against the Eagles. The countdown to kickoff is on. From the official station of the Titans, 104.5 The Zone.
Phil to get back with the pizza. Clock is ticking. He's got about 10 minutes.
Less than that.
Yeah. Whew. It's a tough moment for him. We're having a lot of fun. We got Ron Slay and Ramon Foster in studio co-hosting with us. They're going to be with us until 1 o'clock. John McClain from the Houston Chronicle. We're going to talk NFL from 1 to 2 today. Phone line's open. If you want to jump in, you got a question for we're actually opening them back up. If you want to talk some football, basketball, whatever you want to get into with Ron and Ramon, 615-737-1045. Question for both of you guys.
Yeah.
How much does it pain you, and I mean pain you, as Tennessee grads, to hear that LaMichael Perine, running back for the Florida Gators, has Phil made it back? Phil is here. Look at that. 9 minutes to spare. Phil is back in record time.
Oh, and he's not even sweating.
No, look at that. Love that. Phil just won some serious intern points with that that move there. So LaMichael Perine said yesterday at SEC Media Days, Tennessee's no longer a rival.
Wow.
Said it's just another game to them. They've won 13 out of 14. It's no longer a rival. What pains me as a Tennessee grad when I hear that is he's right. When terms of wins and losses, it is just another game that Florida wins. And that's the mentality of Florida players. How difficult is it if you're Tennessee to get that mentality back? Where not only are you competitive, but you feel like you're going to win games like that, and that really is the biggest step for this program.
Let me get this ahead. First. As a fan going to the games, and I was fortunate to go to the game last year against Florida, and man, to sit there and have all of the hope drained out of you, like. That feeling, man, is sickening. I mean, going back to the tailgate at halftime instead of standing there and watching the game and kneeling, dude, it's a feeling that I thought I would never have to feel. So whatever has to be done.
And there was hope surrounding that game going
into
it.
Yes, it was. I think the national championship team was under that game. So yeah, guys were back. I'm geeked.
It was a sellout. It was a night game.
It was beautiful. Yeah. It was beautiful. And man,
there's always a moment like that early in Tennessee seasons, though, where it feels like, boy, man, this is special. This feels like it did back in 1998 or 99.
Hey, man, but whatever we got to do to get back to it, man, hopefully it happens much, much sooner than later because, man, I mean, we are honestly starving for some wins. And
step one is beating Vandy, not Florida. I mean, that's
very true.
I mean, if you're a Tennessee fan, you need to worry about Vanderbilt and not Florida and Georgia right now.
And the crazy thing
is, people hate to hear that, but it's the truth. You've lost three straight to Vandy. Beat them.
What's funny
first, take care of who you need to take care of.
Everything around the university is flourishing. Yeah. Every other sport is reaching new heights. Track, volleyball, softball, baseball, everything, basketball. But the problem is, with our football doing good, it feels like we're losing as a university.
This comes from a basketball guy who knows this.
Exactly. So
Philip Fulmer knows this also, Ramon.
Yes, absolutely. And I was coached under his time there. So for me, seeing Tennessee football is this. One, I'm very hopeful. I'll say that. Because listening to you guys talk about that, I went to a dark spot. I was lightly getting depressed in here listening to you guys talk about how bad we were, which is – it's true. P. Ron has some facts in what he's saying. True. But in this right here, what you got to realize at some point, you got to cash that check. He just wrote a big one at SEC Media Days, okay? And I'll say this about Tennessee football. One, I like the way Coach Pruitt is going about things. He's building a program the way I think you build a team, any team, football team. You start up front. He's starting up front with both sides of that. And I think
if you look at the number of 300-pound plus players they've added,
right. Yes.
When he took over, yes. I mean, there's like 12 more guys that are over 300 pounds.
I remember when Ron went to that game. We talked about it. And when they got bashed, one of the things you said to me was this. You said, Mon, they don't even look like how y'all looked. He was like, man, they get off the bus. And he's like, they didn't look like what they were supposed to.
No fear.
And with that being said, one thing that it seems like Coach Pruitt is turning around is that aspect of Tennessee football. You got to get guys up front that's going to be able to maul guys. And in that, everything else follows. If a quarterback is running around and he don't have time to do anything, or the D-line is just, parting like the Red Sea, then you lose a lot of games that way.
Let me ask you this, Ramon, because offensive line play always fascinates me. And I don't know if it was Tyson Helton and a miscommunication with what the expectation was. Maybe the play calling wasn't conducive to protect a quarterback with an offensive line that couldn't really pass protect that well. But it was a disaster last year when they tried to protect the passer. And Jarrett Garantano still had a pretty good season, all things considered.
On a watch list this year.
And for that reason. Yeah. I mean, you look at his numbers, they're good for a guy who didn't get any protection. And you feel like Jim Chaney now will call plays to help his quarterback and to help his offense. But run blocking. I've long heard from coaches, and you can speak to this as a longtime offensive lineman, a guy who played for Philip Fulmer. It's attitude.
Yeah.
A lot of times it comes down to you can talk all you want about technique and the play and everything else, but it comes down to one-on-one and who's going to get that push. Who's going to get a half a yard so your running back can get a yard to get a third and one? How much of it is just simply attitude?
What were we talking about beforehand about when do you start thinking about the Super Bowl? Mm-hmm. We were just talking about that. And what was the first thing? Surviving first. And in that right there, that's attitude on how you're going to approach it. Offensive line play is simply consistency and finish and your attitude. Those three things right there will take you a long way in that. And so for a guy like myself, if I'd have heard that from a running back that said that about Tennessee football, I'm gonna be a guy to be like, I'm gonna check my D line, like, y'all gotta make him pay at some point in time. And us on the other side of this, we gotta make sure that they don't get a chance to run the ball.
But do they have those guys? Because they gotta get back to that. What I'm hearing from you is beautiful.
I wish
Tennessee had a bunch of Ramon Fosters out there, but I watch that offensive line block and it kills me because I'm a guy with not a lot of physical athleticism, but I'm thinking if I were 6'3", 320, you better believe that we're going to get the yard, or at least that's my mentality. I understand you're blocking other guys 320, but I don't feel like that's been the mentality for Tennessee's offensive lines for years, and maybe it's kind of the system with the spread with Butch Jones. And I've said this a lot. The last time I thought I watched a Tennessee football team and I said, they are physically good. And it's a physical team, was 2015 at Alabama. And they lost 19-14. But I thought at the end of that game, I said, both teams hit the crap out of each other. Jalen Hurd was getting tough yards. And I left that game thinking, boy, Tennessee and Alabama physically looked the same.
Yes.
And Tennessee lost a close game in the last few minutes. They were ahead late in the fourth quarter. But yeah. I thought they're close to Alabama's equal. They are so far. They're miles apart from Georgia, Florida, Alabama physically.
Yeah.
But getting that mentality back, is it a coached thing or is it inherent in the players?
I think
that you have to have that want to, as you said, make LaMichael Perine cash that check.
What happens is also what you got to look into. I say I love this, but I hate doing it too at the same time, because you got look at who the other coach was recruiting. He was recruiting this sexy position guys.
Right.
And in that, you lose the lineman. You lose the defensive lineman. So with that mentality comes the type of player you're recruiting. And I think that we're getting to that point. I think this year will be better than last year with that attitude, with the guys they're trying to put out there. What we got to deal with now is probably what's going to happen is you got to deal with the growing pains a little bit. You got to deal with, okay, well, maybe they will miss a block. Mm-hmm. But also with you having a good quarterback coming back, and you got an offensive coordinator that's proven that he can call plays and win. Mm-hmm. What he's going to have to do is play to his strengths, meaning he might have a pro-style offense, but he's going to move the offensive lineman left and right. Maybe we do more slide protection. Maybe it's not one-on-ones. Maybe I'm not going to put my young left tackle on a senior defensive end. Maybe we slide left to protect him, push the running back and tight end to the right. So those are some of the things that I'm sure Coach Chaney is going to do, because, one, if he wants to win every football team from Little League up, because our coach flag right now starts with your quarterback. If you want to keep him on the field and win, he's got to protect him. And in that, you got to get creative with your pass pros. Until they get to the point to where they can sustain one-on-one blocks, they have to get to that point to where we got to adjust our blocking scheme. It becomes team blocking and attitude, opposed to we're just going to send them out there and we hope the one-on-ones we did in practice work. No, it falls a little bit on the coaches too now in dealing with what you've recruited or what you're left with.
I want to talk more about the Jeremy Pruitt approach and also talk a little bit about the Derek Mason approach in terms of development and where Jeremy Pruitt wants to be as a developmental program when we come back. And I like this conversation of attitude also. We'll keep talking about that. 615-737-1045. 737-1045 if you want to jump in. It's the Midday 180 served up by Wendy's. You guys now are free to eat, by the way. Go ahead. It's time.
VolQuest.com's Austin Price breaks down Vols with the Midday 180. Presented by Junk V Gun Nashville. Mondays and Fridays on 104.5 The Zone.
We've had a few bites of food, feeling a little better now. In studio with Ramon Foster, Ron Slay, until 1 o'clock. Phone lines open, 615-737-1045. SEC Media Days down in Hoover. Tennessee takes the stage today, along with Texas A&M, Georgia, and Ole Miss. I jokingly said it's the Nick Saban family tree day at SEC Media Days, but that's what it is, because he's the man. Mm-hmm. And you see a lot of programs trying to duplicate what he's done, and Tennessee is no different with Jeremy Pruitt. Ron, you were talking during the break, and you said even seeing the team a year ago, they didn't look like an SEC football team.
No.
How much of that, and we're talking about changing a culture, but also changing the attitude of a team, how much of that is simply you've got to bring in a completely new group of guys to make it happen, or can you change guys who are on the roster now?
One thing I've heard a lot of great coaches say, Steve Smith, Coach Bowers, one thing we can't do is heart transplants. So, I mean, either they got it or they don't. And I think Jeremy Pruitt is a guy that one thing in his favor is he can go and see. He can look in your chest, though, and see if you got the heart to get out there and fight. But if they don't, I think he does away with him. I think what he's doing right now is going to get guys that are good, nasty. And I think they got to get back to that. Guys coming maybe with their shirt hanging off or, you know what I mean, looking like they ain't worried about getting haircuts or
Well, he's talked about football's important to someone.
Right.
He wants guys that football's important to him.
Yep. Right. And it looks like it. You know, I was up there to work a basketball camp with Coach Barnes, and just walking in the complex, the perception – of guys was totally different. Like, you saw guys coming out of the weight room sweating, saw guys getting extra work in, and they looked bigger than me. That was a great sign. Like, if we got offensive linemen that are the same size as me, I don't think we're going to get too much accomplished in the SEC. So I think that's a great sign, the perception, because the product that was put on the field against Florida, and that's no knock against Pruitt, but that's just what he inherited. Man, that looked like a very, very good high school team that you might see playing on ESPN or something of that nature, but not a team that needs to be playing in the SEC.
And also, I think in that first year, too, like you said, you always got to give a coach a buffer. Mm-hmm. And I think he's had his buffer. I thought he still did well with what he had. But in a lot of that is it's almost just like going to boot camp or training camp. You got to break them down.
Right.
You got to get them under your system. This is the first full year under his system with recruiting and everything else. And now he know the guys know him, and then you got your system in place. Not just you, it's dealing with your strength coach, dealing with the assistant coaches across the board that everybody know what you expect out of them. And right. With that, I'm looking forward to it. I'm hopeful. I hate to say hopeful as if we're
that's what we're, it is.
But I like what
we sound like
going.
Such losers. Yeah.
Right now
we are. This is what Tennessee football has done to all their fans, though, is you just constantly sound like losers when you talk about the team, but that's where the program is right now.
But guess what I'm doing?
Jeremy Pruitt's not a loser. I think that's one thing you can say about him and his staff is they've been at places that have been successful. They're not accustomed to losing. If anything, I was looking at last year thinking, how is he gonna react to this? Because he's never been in this situation where you're home for the holidays.
Right.
You know, and you're not winning games and you're going through that level of adversity.
Mm-hmm. But every single year, guess what I'm doing? I got my orange on.
I was just about to say, like, you're Vol fans. Now, we're getting on our guys, but you're not talking to two fair weather friends. No. I'm talking fans.
Yeah.
You're talking about some real VFLs who every single Saturday, we taking a picture and sending it to each other like we got our orange on, and no matter where we are in the nation, we are watching and tuned in and are cheering. Now, the difference is I do believe you get to see now he's not going for that flashy, beautiful type player, that five-star guy. He gets a couple, three stars, four stars in there, but the guys he's going to get, man, and I take my hat off to him, he's taking care of home, man. We talk about this. We've been talking about this for like the last 3 or 4 years, like, if you can just take care of home, the successful teams at UT, whether it be football or basketball, had guys that were homegrown and playing up there.
Yep.
I know in my tenure at University of Tennessee, we had 13 guys. 11 of the 13 guys were from right here in Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, it's just what it is. You got to get what's needed on your team, and you got to get it from home. Same thing for football.
Yep.
You know, those great teams that they had in Memphis, the Middle Tennessee teams, like, all of those guys were going to Knoxville without question. Mm-hmm. You know, and then that's the way we were able to pull in guys from South Carolina, like the Albert Haynesworths and things of that nature, you know, going to Alabama and Mississippi and getting guys. It wasn't even a question because we had the home state. So,
well, what's the value of year two in a system? I mean, you can even go back to your rookie year with the Steelers, coming back in year two under Mike Tomlin and playing in the same system. That's where I think some of this gets
stability?
Lost is that, well, it's just also knowing what to expect.
Yes.
Like, a year ago was probably a shock to the system when you went from Butch Jones to Jeremy Pruitt and his coaches in terms of what they demanded, how they worked out the team, how they practiced, everything else. But being 19 years old and coming back for year two, or being 21 and coming back for year two, how much easier is it the second go-around of knowing what to expect?
One of the main reasons I went to Tennessee at the time was because I knew Coach Foreman was going to be there. I went there because I knew he was going to be there, and he was. Until
he was in no danger of losing his job. Yeah.
Absolutely, and that's the same thing I feel about with Coach Pruitt. Those guys should know that he's going to be there. So what he's telling you, either you get with it or you're going to get left behind. And the way he's recruiting right now, like you said, I feel like they're at the point now where he know, okay, if this guy right here don't want to work, I know I got this three-star that I can develop to get him where I want him to go. And a lot of that goes on. Everybody gets all up, get hype about how many four-star guys you get. But the core guys that end up on the team are usually like your two- and three-star guys, the low four-stars or whoever the case may be. And those are the guys you got to, you know, work with for the most for the most point of saying, we want these guys to be our guys, and we know we're going to grind them, and we know we're going to get a winning production out of it. So going into the second year of his program, they should know what the expectations are, and they should want to achieve them. To see P. Ron say that, I'm like, oh, my gosh.
Right.
Well, and it should piss Tennessee players off, quite frankly. And if it doesn't, it's a problem in that locker room. But something else, because it's so quiet up there, and Jeremy Pruitt, and this is his method, he wants to be the lone voice of that program. He doesn't want players talking. He doesn't want assistant coaches talking. We haven't even talked about T. Martin coming home yet.
Right.
You know, it's not like he's out there doing a lot of interviews because he knows the deal. When he signs up there as an assistant, you're not going to be doing a lot of interviews. Mm-hmm. But how exciting is it to see the quarterback who led Tennessee to their last national championship back on campus coaching receivers?
It's huge, man. And not only just that, just seeing his product of guys he's put out there and just the NFL, too. I mean, one of the guys,
one of them there.
Juju. Yeah. And I think when you're able to reach guys the way he is and have the impact that he has and still, like you said, still stay behind the scenes, because it could be easy for him to be the guy, especially in this state.
Without a doubt.
He could be the guy. And like you said, that's the type of ship that Pruitt is running. And if you're running that type of ship, that means you want your coaches to be successful, because at that point in time, when it's time for them to interview for a job, he's speaking on their behalf because of the work they've done. Mm-hmm. If they stay around with a coach like him, then you know you got a good group around it. I'm hopeful.
Does Juju say good things about T. Martin
and
his time at USC?
He loved T. At least that's the reason he went to USC. He absolutely
Dory Jackson T. said really good things about him when we had him on the show.
I don't think you can say too many bad things about T. And I like to piggyback off Ramon, that consistency, and like what Chad, what you were saying, when a kid goes off track, you tend to look back like, What type of home did they come from? Mm-hmm. Was it a stable home? Was it anybody there that was a mainstay? Was it a father that was in and out? Was it a mother on drugs or something of that nature? With Jeremy Pruitt, I think he's there for a long tenure.
Yeah.
You know, so you're going to have a base there. So once you get that consistency and that stability there, and you get those guys get in there, that's when the machine starts and the things start churning. So I think he pulled in all the great pieces for it. Not only did you go get a T and bring her back home, kudos to Coach Foreman for having any hand in that. But you got a guy able to tap into that West Coast market also.
Yes, sir.
And get one or two gyms from out there. Hey.
And if one thing they do a lot of 7-on-7 on the West Coast because of the weather allows it. So I would think their skills are a little bit sharper than some. So like I said, Juju love T, which is
huge. Time has flown, by the way, with you guys in studio. This has been great. We got one more segment.
That's
with Ron Slay and Ramon Foster, and that's it. It's 2 hours felt like 1 hour.
People,
even less than that.
615-737-1045.
Well, we got to get into what's next for Tennessee basketball when we come back to
the callers.
More with Ron Slay and Ramon Foster when we come back. It's the Midday 180 served up by Wendy's.
The countdown to Titans training camp is on. Nashville's exclusive home for the Tennessee Titans is your sports station. 104.5, The Zone.
Welcome back to the Midday 180 served up by Wendy's. Going to talk a little Tennessee basketball here momentarily, but sometimes something happens off air that we have to take on air. Ramon, you just told a story there at the end about an influential moment with Philip Fulmer as your coach, of course, now the athletics director at Tennessee, where you learned something from him that at the time you probably didn't appreciate, but you do years later.
Did not appreciate it. And I saw him earlier this spring to the coach's caravan thing, and I told him this story again.
With our buddy Brad Lampley you're hanging out with.
Well, I was hanging at Brad Lampley's house. Cool lawyer here. Also, UT guy also. So, but
he's a power broker in the city now. Brad Lampley, power broker.
Yeah, but it was my redshirt freshman year. And I messed up on the play we had been going over. Just a young freshman thing. I knew it, but of course, I think I stepped wrong and then something happened. But he told me to just take off. And I'm running, run one lap, run another lap, and I never forget it was Paris Harrison, number 98 on my
from
third.
Long Beach, Mississippi.
Yes, indeed, P. Raris. But
I had a sport management class with Paris Harrelson when I was at UT.
It was to the point where I was running. I think I got to the third lap. He was like, "Dang, Foster, how many did he tell you to run?" He was like, he didn't say a number. He's like, "Oh, you must really be in trouble then." Apparently, he gave guys before me numbers, but it was just one of those things where I
start running.
Yeah, he just told me take off. And but what in hindsight, what he was trying to do is he was prepping me to start that game. I think Cody Douglas at the time, I think he had just got injured, and I'm oblivious to what was going on. Didn't know I was going to be the next person up. And it was actually the first start I ever started at Tennessee was at left guard. Now my career in the NFL is a left guard, although I was a tackle in college.
I love stories like that. Yeah. So, Ron, Tennessee's coming off in basketball, a lot of success the last 2 years.
Right.
They're obviously losing a lot now. What's next for this program? And are things set up now with the success they can sell on the recruiting trail of these guys that just got drafted to where you're going to see a higher level prospect start playing basketball at Tennessee?
I believe so. I believe it starts with the class that's coming in now, being set by Josiah James. The kid, I can't remember his name right now, but the goes by the Big Ticket. Played at Hargrave. He went for
Devontae Gaines.
Devontae Gaines.
Yep.
From Buffalo, New York. I think he's going to be a sleeper, man. This guy, I got to watch him play, man. He's very explosive, lefty, can get it done. And then Josiah James, his body, man. You can put this guy to 1 through 4, and he can fill all needs. So I'm interested to see how he does if he gets to play a little bit of the four and gets to get the rebound and push it, because that man's shoulders is kind of reminds you of a Dwight Howard type. Like, I can't believe that he's a point guard doing it. So
are Jordan Bowden and Lamonte Turner the leaders
of
this team? Yeah,
it's hands down, no question about it. Those are the leaders. But you got to be careful, because Jalen Johnson, he had a good summer when he went overseas and played a little bit. So in Israel.
They need some size, though.
Yeah, got to get some
size.
They
need guys to step up.
Yeah.
They need that 7-footer to be eligible.
Yeah, without a doubt. And he'll be able to help. But Fulkerson, he's back. He's, man, I rave about Fulkerson, because his energy, not only in the games, but in practice, when they're playing pickup, you can see the energy. And him being more confident about taking shots and things of that nature, expanding his offensive game, the defense will be there. But the most important thing will be the years to come. Keon Johnson and Jaden Springer. If you can land one of those guys, we're right back in the hunt for things. I think this year it's a top four finish for UT. I think a lot of it's going to rely on Bowden and Turner to lead and need some guy to step up. So,
do you feel good about Keon Johnson?
Yeah,
I saw where Virginia
do.
Just took a commitment from someone.
That's great.
And now they have no more scholarships. So that people are seeing that as kind of a concession that Keon Johnson's probably going to Tennessee.
Right. And if he does, man, if somehow you can keep that guy for more than 1 year, if we can get 2 years out of him, it's going to be tough. But if you can get 2 years out of that guy, man, we're right back into Elite Eight, you know, Final Four status. And that's going to be great for him. But I think with four guys going this year, all being able to sign contracts in the NBA, going on the recruiting trail, even with losing a guy like Rob Lanier, I think you have just a great pitch walking into a living room with these two stars, three stars.
What do you think about Kim English, the new coach they brought in?
I think a good guy, young. I think he falls back a lot on his playing time, so he relates well with the players. I think a lot of it would be with Mike Schwartz and Desmond Oliver. I think they'll take the reins a little bit more and not take a backseat. I think Kim is a lot more vocal than I thought he would be coming into the situation. He was very outspoken up there on the court. And Coach Barnes, he kind of lets his guys, man, just you guys, I'm going to be the manager, and you guys go out there and fill the voids that Rob has left behind, and Dez stepping up, and Mike, so forth and so on. So I think Kim is going to be great for the guards. I think as far as giving them confidence, I don't know how much more confidence you can give a Lamonte Turner, but it's going
to
be.
They need to take some of that confidence back.
Yeah, but I think
you need the big shots he hit against Kentucky. But sometimes you don't want him taking the 35-foot three against LSU on the road in that moment.
True, but I think going into the season, man, the biggest thing will be health, them being healthy, and somebody being able to emerge into that front court. And I didn't get to lay eyes on Eves, so I don't know how he's progressing, but. Everybody else, DJ's body, it looks very good. The strength coach has done a tremendous job with those guys, man. He almost got me in there to do a little lifting with him, but I saw how frantic and psycho he was. And I said, nah, I think I'll pass on this. So they're doing off-season training, man, and they look really, really good.
So, Ramon, what's next for you? Continuing working out until you report up to Pittsburgh?
Yeah, continue working out. I leave for Pittsburgh next Tuesday.
Wow,
man, that's fast, man.
We started on the 25th, actually. So locked and loaded, baby.
If y'all want to follow me too, man, I'll be at Latrobe this year. I will be at camp. I'm there for a week. Yeah, with Father Paul.
I feel like Ron can give a few snaps at tight end, like a blocking tight end.
Hey, yeah, just fade route.
He can get a sideline. I'll put it this way.
I saw the chest bump in the men's league game. If you just did that at a block, you'd be okay.
He can get a couple snaps on the first 2 days of practice. That's before we put on the pads.
It's just like shorts and helmet.
I might get out there in the shells.
Full pads, he's out.
That's why I don't go to the basketball court with him.
I can't wait. Press.
Guys, this has been awesome. Thank you so much.
Can I give a shout out, Chad?
Absolutely.
Man, my guys, Johnny Pratt and Paul Pratt, over Full Service Insurance, man, thank you for helping me out with the Boom Boom Room. And also Garth Bowling, man, you guys were a big help. And we're getting ready to bring it back. The Boom Boom Room will be in effect after Thanksgiving, people. Stay tuned.
There it is.
Will we ever have the return of the Ron and Ramon podcast also?
Yes.
Absolutely. Or will this just be a part of the Boom Boom Room?
No, we got to do Ron and Ramon podcast.
That way we can be all the way raw on that.
Yeah.
I sense a James Harden, Russell Westbrook type scenario. Well, neither one of you are willing to concede.
No, we play off each other. We might concede too much at times.
Ramon's really, I'm not going to be a part of the Boom Boom Room. It's the Ramon and Ron.
But see, guess what? That mentality of the Boom Boom Room, he already got it.
Yeah, that's right.
He already got it. Follow him on Instagram, people.
The Ramon Foster.
Guys, thanks so much for this. It's been awesome.
Thank you.
Ron Slay, Ramon Foster, doing a great job as our +2 today.